It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Victory Thursday, and what a victory it was last night. Interesting game. I'm anxious to get to the thoughts of our panel of experts, and I say that term loosely because in studio with us, speaking of panel of experts, is the one, the only, Coach Henson. What's going on, Coach?
Hello, boys.
Well, on the line, he's going to say is the real expert, and that's our friend Jamie Rivers. What's going on? Brought to you by SynergyHockeySkills.com. What's up, Rivs?
What's going on, guys? Hey, Gary, I'm glad you found your phone. Hey,
no, he's on his phone right now. I was going to take a picture of it and send
what
it to
beauty.
You. But he's on it, but he's learning. He's getting smarter. You know what he's looking up right now, don't you?
That.
You know what he's doing? He's looking up. He's needs some work done, so he's looking up innovativecompanies.com and our friend Randy Green. Gary said he needed construction, heating and cooling, and electric work done, but he's not real sure if he's residential, commercial, or industrial because that's how Hindu lives. So we're going to get Randy Green involved in his 35 years experience and let him look Gary in the eye and tell him what he needs. That's Randy Green, innovativecompanies.com. So now that I'm segued out on that one, let's get right into an interesting game from my perspective. I got to tell you, it's what a sight for sore eyes Braden Schenn was. I don't know about you, Hindu, and Rivs. I'll start with Rivs. What a sight for sore eyes, eh?
Yeah, this guy here, he's been working real hard while he's been away injured, and you can tell that he wanted to get back in the lineup, and you can also tell just how bad we needed him. If he didn't have to look too far. I mean, the first goal of the game for the Blues is Braden Schenn deflecting a goal in by – going to those dirty areas and just, quite honestly, just being Braden Schenn on that goal. And he had a real solid game. And you can just tell that he brings an element to the team that we desperately need. And let's hope that we're way over the hump with his injury and that the rest of the year we get this guy in our lineup as we move into playoffs. But I was really happy with what he brought.
I got to ask you, somebody had tweeted this out last night and noticed this, so I want to get your thoughts on it. And I looked, and I couldn't tell if it was tint from the lights, but it was pretty apparent he's wearing a tinted visor. Now, somebody had tweeted out, this guy shouldn't be playing because it's obvious he's still sensitive to light. Why else would he wear a tinted visor? And I'm sitting there going, well, I had no idea that we were all doctors out here, but is there something to that? Like with the tint, does it help, or like what's the deal with that?
Well, yeah, he is wearing a tinted visor, and the story behind it is that it keeps a certain brightness away from your eyes, and because the lights that are in an arena, they're not your everyday lights that you're walking around the house or outside. It's not like that. They're a bluish, light, and they're obviously a lot brighter, and so when there is some sensitivity to it, having the tinted visor helps. And it doesn't mean he's not healthy. It doesn't mean that he's still suffering from symptoms. It just means that it's not going to tax his system with his eyes and everything that goes along to regulating it. It's not going to tax his system more than it has to. And Ovechkin wears a tinted visor. He seems to be just fine. You know, Braden Schenn wears a tinted visor. Kopitar wears a tinted visor. These guys seem to be operating just fine to me.
What? I think, I don't think it had any effect on him last night. You know, I mean, he obviously has some great hand-eye coordination on that tip.
Yeah.
And
as Jamie said, no problem going to the dirty areas. So, no, I mean, he's ready to play.
He's ready to play. But, man, what an incredible goal or incredible tip on that first goal, huh, Jamie?
I love it. I mean, you know, you're getting the puck to Vladdy. Vladdy's entering that circle that we talked about and that heat map that we talked about. He's entering that right into that spot to shoot. And, yeah, he doesn't put it in the net himself, but Braden Schenn redirects that. And it's awesome because that's what they need. And it's a power play goal, too, to boot. So,
yeah, you know, not to mention he was jumping at the same time. It was pretty athletic, if to say the least. So it's a good way for the Blues to get started.
You know, Jamie, as I watched that game last night, I saw some things that were interesting. I do want to ask you about the new defenseman and your thoughts on his game last night.
You know, I thought he was all right. It's tough. Like, he kind of got screwed on this one. Like, everybody, yeah, you'd like to play against your old team. But do you really want it to be the first game you play with your brand new team, playing your old team, where you really weren't playing to start with? Like, that's a tough slot for him to come in on. And, you know, the very first goal, you have Robert Thomas on the ice with Delzato and Vince Dunn. Dunn has to take his guy in the high slot. Puck moves behind the net. You have Thomas and Delzato that go towards the puck carrier. He just cycles it back around to the open guy. And, you know, that's just – you can tell that's a new guy play. You've got a young guy and a new guy on that play. And, that's what you get when it happens. And the young guy probably – you know, could have held back in front of the net and let Delzato continue to pressure and then just drop to the backside to pick up the other forward. Or with good communication, could have called Delzato off and, you know, kind of squeezed out that puck carrier and Delzato could have dropped to the other side of the net and taken the guy who ultimately scored the goal. So, but that's a play that you're going to get when you insert a new guy in the lineup. It doesn't mean he wasn't trying hard. Doesn't mean he wasn't ready. It's kind of a victim of circumstances there. But, you know, I don't know ultimately what Delzato will bring to this team. He was a very high draft pick. He was a very skilled defenseman. You know, time will tell, and we'll see how they utilize him. If they just utilize him where he's in one game every 7 or 8 games, then I think what you saw last night is what you're going to get, because there will be no expanding his role. So it'd be interesting to see how Craig Berube continues to use him.
It looked, I didn't talk to the man. I didn't talk to anybody else there, obviously, but it looked to me like he was trying to play a physical game, like that he was trying to bring that. Would you say that maybe that's been the instruction of, hey, this is what we're looking for out of you. You're going to play whatever. And, you know, we're really hoping to get a little pick me up here from you in this area. I mean, is that possible?
Well, he's old enough now, and I remember going through this phase of my career where you look around the room and you figure out what the team needs. And whatever the team needs, you become that guy. You have to morph into that guy. And if you can do it successfully, then guess what? You found your spot on the team. So Delzato probably looks around and says, we're not a really over-physical team. Edmondson plays with some sandpaper. Bortuzzo's out of the lineup. So guess what? By default, Delzato has to be sandpaper. And if he's smart, that's how he, you know, figured it out. And then, yeah, he's got to go out there and play like a prick. He's got to be miserable to play against. Like, even right. If he gets his freaking nose bashed in, like, he's got to be a dick to play against, and that will get him ice time.
Yeah, but Rivs, I mean, let me ask you this. You had grit. Like, you were the sandpaper great guy.
Are we going to go Seinfeld here?
No,
okay.
We're not. Want to know, because Delzato's never really been that kind of guy. How hard?
You know what, Gary? Truth be told, I was never that guy either. I really wasn't. I came out of junior hockey, and I was just a scoring machine as a defenseman. And you can look at my stats, and show you.
Yeah.
You know, and very few penalty minutes. And then my first year pro, I realized that in order for me to play at a higher level, I had to add that to my game. Not many guys could shoot, pass, and skate the way I could and add sandpaper. And so my first year playing pro, I got 130 penalty minutes.
Right.
And I mean, that wasn't like, I made a conscious decision that that's the way I needed to play in order to get to the NHL.
Yeah, but so, it was in you though, man. Like, what I'm trying to get at is, like, Kimball will even tell you, you know, and you guys have all said it before, the tough guy or the enforcer role, those guys were typically the best player on the team at some point in their lives and in junior. And then they realized to stay in the game, they had to bring this element to their game. Well, you realized it in your rookie year and in your early years that you needed more sandpaper, because I have seen your stats. You know I've researched your stuff because I think it's cool. But Delzato's not a rookie, and he's never been had to be that guy per se in the NHL. So is that a realistic option to expect from him? Like us Blues fans, can we expect him to pick up his physical play, or are we just looking at kind of a solid guy who's going to throw a hit once in a while and maybe not, you know, have a huge impact on the game, but, you know, is not going to get hurt either?
Well, I think that we should appreciate the fact that he's trying to bring that to the game, you know?
Yeah.
Like, good on him. You know, he realizes that maybe that's what he needs to do. Let's encourage him to do that. You know, we can never have too much sandpaper in the lineup. And this is a guy that can skate and handle the puck. So, you know, if we do, for some reason, lose a defenseman from our top four and we need a guy who can actually play a power play, Delzato can do that. But in the time between now and then, let's appreciate the fact that he's manning up in his last year of his contract and willing to bring, you know, something extra to the team.
Right.
That's the way I look at it.
So is that why he's here, though? Is he here in case is he here for the depth for the power play thing? Kind of like, obviously, we didn't, you know, Falk, we didn't get him, and he's a different caliber of player, a different level of player than Delzato. But is that why Delzato's here mostly, is just for in case something happens and so that he can handle the power play?
Yeah, look, Delzato can play in every situation. And you know what? He's never excelled in one particular area, which is why he's kind of bopped around in the last few years. But when push comes to shove, if you need a penalty killer, he can do it. If you need a power play guy, he can do it. If you need a little grit in the lineup, he can do it. So that's why he's here, is he's kind of the fix-all, right? The Swiss Army knife, where Whatever you need on that given night, he can provide it. Now, you don't want to lean on him for 25, 30 games of trying to be your quarterback on the power play. I don't think that would be a great thing to happen. But if you need him in the playoffs, as short as playoffs can be, he can step up and do it. So, you know, like I think it's a good pickup because he kind of sort of does everything at a National Hockey League level.
You know, toughness is something that can never be understated, especially as you get into the playoffs. Speaking of toughness, since I'm in my segue mode today, you sent me a really great text last night about something that we can announce about our upcoming show at Live from Minner Arena. It looks like we have 100% confirmation that our winners will be joining our show, which will feature yourself. Sad to say, I think it's even a less than 50-50 shot that our man Kimball's going to be able to make it due to his work commitments. But you've got a pretty good replacement for our man Kimby when it comes to toughness. Would you like to announce who your partner in crime that day will be on the mic?
Well, my partner in crime for that day, and he's been my partner in crime on many days, Mr. Tony Twist will be live in person and out of his mind on March 21st.
Well, it's interesting because I've said more than once our Tony Twist episode at Minner Arena is our number one downloaded episode and listened to episode. And, you know, so the shoes are going to be big to fill because now we got to go in and do it again. But, you know, you wonder, and I think people wonder this about all you guys. I mean, are you going to run out of stories at some time? I doubt it.
Oh, no, there's no shortage of stories, that's for sure. And just to make sure we don't run out of stories, We're going to be joined by another guy that I confirmed yesterday.
I was unaware of this. This is good. Okay.
And so we will have, since we're staying in theme with the knuckle draggers, we will have Mr. Reed Lowe.
Oh, the big dog.
Yes. Yes. So we'll have the two of the biggest dogs ever in the St. Louis Blues yard. Coming in to talk some shop and tell stories and have some giggles and make everyone uncomfortable.
You know, I gotta be honest with you. You know, when you start looking at guests and what you've done and things like that, you know, I gotta ask you. I mean, a lot of times I can see the correlation between Reed and Tony. I mean, a couple of the toughest guys to wear the blue note. Now, how do you fit into this other than the fact that you probably got those guys into a lot of fights? Is that the correlation there?
I'll tell you what, I was always good for business for those guys. And Twister will tell you himself that if he had a quiet night, you know, and give me the little nudge, and that would mean get on out there and stir the shit up. And so I'd go run Peter Forsberg through the boards, and then, of course, you know, that's going to attract the attention of whomever, and then now we get to release the Kraken. Tony Twist.
Gee, many Christmas. Talk about a couple of heavyweights. That should be good. And like I said, to all of the people out there that have entered the contest so far, if you have not, you still have 7 days. We will share some more stuff on social media this week. We're going to provide some more opportunities for you guys to gain more entries into the contest. But please don't forget, get over to Adam Smokehouse. Have some Adam Smokehouse send us a picture on social media. Tag Adam Smokehouse, tag us. That way we can make sure we get you marked down for the contest. We also, at BluesNHLPodcast.com, have a way for you to enter by clicking the Minner Arena banner. Once you click that, it'll walk you through many ways that you can gain more entries into the contest. We'll be sending more stuff on that today. But for our winners, not only are you going to get maybe a couple of beverages from one of our favorite beer companies, but you're definitely going to be treated to Adam Smokehouse. We're going to give you an opportunity to ask a question on the show, and obviously be entertained by, you know, some of the greats here for sure. But obviously a crowd pleaser when it comes to Tony Twist and of course Reed Lowe, as everybody loves the fighters, and then you get to know the agitator, the one that started all the trouble, in Jamie Rivers. So you did well, my friend, with that. So hopefully our listeners will now continue.
And we may not be done. May not be done.
Man, there's, I tell you what, how many chairs are we going to need for that day? We're going to need a lot of chairs.
We're going to need a lot of chairs for sure, and a lot of we won't need very many hockey pucks, because these guys have been known to chop hockey pucks into pieces.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. So, yeah, maybe we'll bring some boxing gloves and they can sign those.
No, don't do that. Jesus, then they might want to start fighting each
other. That's true, too. We don't need any of that. But, no, good work, my man. I knew you'd come through, and I knew the fans would enjoy it as well. So, great stuff. We're looking forward to that. And stay tuned to our social media. And, again, that's at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. If you're a Blues fan, we're going to follow you back. Pay attention there, as we'll be releasing more stuff about how you can win a chance to be on the show. Don't forget us on Facebook, Blues NHL Podcast. Like our page. Click invite your friends. That's going to be a way for you guys to get more entries. I'm just telling you, start inviting your friends, because when you send me a screenshot of how many of your friends, it shows it right there. If you send it to me and 30 of your friends like Blues NHL Podcast, then you're going to get 30 more entries. So you need to invite all your friends to like the show, folks. So easily done. Don't forget us on Instagram as well, Blues NHL Podcast. Happy to have you guys follow us there. Special thanks, as always, is lineupmedia.fm, home of your radio, the streaming platform that's free on your mobile device. Just download it from your app store. They're the ones that make all this possible and really support everything we do. So we appreciate them greatly, and I'm excited about the show. It's going to be a great time. We're going to hear from Dennis Minner here shortly as he brings you the Adam Smokehouse Live from Minner Arena segment. Before we do that, though, let's talk just a little bit more about last night. Obviously, Braden Schenn coming back, the line was buzzing. I'm not trying to say that those guys don't have confidence when Braden Schenn's not on their line, but it was noticeable, the buzz last night from that top line with him back. Is it unrealistic not to believe that these guys were excited about having him back? No disrespect to Jaden Schwartz, but there was a certain synergy going on with that line that I don't think it's wrong to say, yeah, these guys were excited.
Well, of course. I mean, look, doesn't matter who you put in there. It doesn't mean they don't like that guy. I mean, but when you have a line that is productive as they have been, and, you know, certainly putting up numbers, but just you get a feeling in a hockey game, and you know, as a line, when you're controlling the puck a lot, when you're in the offensive zone a lot, when you're creating scoring chances, like, you just have a feeling. And so once you get that line, that, you know, that winger back on your line, and you get that feeling back of controlling the play, dictating the play, it's a great feeling, man. It is fun. I mean, as a defenseman, I used to have, you know, defense partners that I like playing with more than others. And when you get with that one partner, it's just like you guys are thinking the same way. You know how the other guy plays. It's it's special. I mean, not to sound all weird and shit, but it's special when you get that kind of chemistry with a defense partner or a line mate. Second to none.
You know, Gary, what did you think of – I'll start with you. Obviously, on the score sheet it shows up. What did you think of Robert Thomas last night?
Wow. You know that
– Wow. I like that. Okay, that's a good start.
Wow.
Well, I mean, the kid –
No, it's
wow.
a great start.
The kid's 19. Wow. The kid is 19. Like, he's just impressive. I mean, and Berube puts him out in big-minute situations. Like, he gets minutes where crucial minutes. And he trusts them in those minutes, and that's a lot to say for a 19-year-old.
Well, I agree. I mean, but he's earning it, right? Like, it's not like he hasn't had an easy road here all year, and that's the thing to remember. Is yet we had to keep him based on the rules. He had to stay in our lineup
right.
to continue his development. But somewhere about halfway, you know, he has bought and paid for himself, for lack of better words, where – Yeah, he's earning his ice time. He's being a difference maker. You can tell that he's bringing something every shift. And last night he brings two huge goals. I mean, the second one couldn't be any bigger. Yeah. I mean, holy crap.
And on the ice, when you pull the goaltender and you're one of the six that gets your number tapped right there, that's a big deal. And I don't, you know, the goal to tie or the yeah the goal to tie the game there, it's not as easy as it looks. He's in tight there, and he's got to elevate that puck pretty quickly and find that. First of all, he had to find the ice. He had to find that space in the right place and elevates that puck and gets that game-tying goal. Couldn't be happier for him because I really like him and I like watching him, and I hope he stays a Blue for a long time.
He's a heck of a player. There's no doubt about that. I thought, like you said on that, I thought that was a great play. And then, you know, you're watching that game, and so as I'm watching it, they score, and I think, holy shit, right? Like, man, I thought, man, this is going to be a tough game to get to take in, to not get the 2 points on. I mean, I thought right. It was a game we should have had, right? I felt bad for Binnington on the one goal. I mean,
let's be honest here. Hang on, let's be honest. Binnington wasn't great last night.
No.
Okay, if we're going to be as honest as we've been with Jake. And honest as we've been with Binnington so far, last night was not a Winnington performance, okay? I mean, that's just a fact. He was average at best.
Yeah.
The only goal that should have went in was the one-timer from Ricard Raquel, which no goalie on this planet would have had.
No.
The other ones, I'm sorry. That's, you know what, that was an off night for Jordan. But
they were soft.
The positive, we still get the win.
Yeah, they were soft. I mean, that one, the puck that handcuffed him a little bit, you know, they were saying, oh, it handcuffed him, whatever. He should make that play, you know.
Well, he's 3 feet outside the crease guessing at where the puck's going. Like, sorry. And then the first one where we talk about Delzato and Thomas, you know, kind of crossing paths. Are,
man.
He's sitting inside the damn net. All he had to do is come out 6 inches and that guy couldn't have put it over there.
It amazes me that you can take the best in the world, NHL guys, and you can take, let's say, a decent Pee-wee team, and somebody gets caught watching the puck every game. Every game, somebody gets caught staring at the puck. And that's a little bit what happened between Delzato and Thomas last night. They're both looking at the puck, and nobody's taking away anybody's stick or anything, and kind of chase.
Yeah, but that's still Binnington should have had that.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no rule that says he can't come around with a stick and just poke check that. Like, He didn't have handcuffs on.
No, but you know what, though? Can we talk?
Oh, just come on.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing, but you know they were staring at the puck. But we did see something different from him, and it wasn't the fact that he had an off night. He had a little you like to say it. He had a little grit last night.
Yeah, but I thought that was the biggest mistake he could have made, honestly.
Yeah.
When he gets involved with Corey, first of all, let me backtrack, okay? Let's start over.
Okay.
Since he's gotten here, he's been Joe Cool, right? Like,
yeah.
You can barely get a word out of this guy. It's like one of those things. Now, that's been his blessing, right? That's been his secret sauce, is he can't rattle him, right? Do I look nervous to you? I believe was the quote.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So yeah. You're like, okay, well, if he's going to be Tom Cruise here and be fucking cool, well,
Bill Belichick.
Guess what? Corey Perry found a way to get into that cool zone and fired up a little something in there, and it didn't help Jordan Binnington. It worked against him. Yep. He was distracted. He kept trying to talk to Corey Perry, and then thump, thump, two fucking goals go in, and it's tie game, and then thump, one more goal goes in.
Uh-oh.
And that's the one where he didn't call the fair catch and drop it in the infield. So guess what? In my opinion, you want to be Joe Cool, you better stay in Joe Coolville.
Rivs just included three major sports in that one comment. He didn't call the fair catch and dropped it in the infield. Got baseball,
but
hockey,
seriously,
and football.
You know, all in like, one. Gary Kimball talks about Ed Belfour, right? He's like his fucking best friend, brother, and all this stuff. Oh, well, yeah, Eddie Belfour was like that. If Eddie was calm and cool and stuck to his game, you couldn't get a greased BB past this guy. But
did you say greased BB?
A greased BB, yes. If you got under Eddie's skin and you poked at him or fell on him or jabbed him, and he came out of his net and acted crazy, you were going to get five. I guarantee it.
I swear there's a Canadian book of sayings that these guys all have, and they had to memorize it. And it's 1,000 pages long. Greased BB.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I'm just saying.
Come on.
I think if he's going to be, you know, Johnny Poker Player there, poker face all the time, and that's what he's been successful as, he's got to stay in the zone. So, because now, guess what? Everybody saw that Perry got under his skin, and then there was a little chink in the armor at that point. Everybody now is going to be jabbing at him, standing on him, elbowing him, you know, talking shit to him, trying to get that going again.
Yeah, he did take him down. He did not Perry down, though. It was pretty.
He did, but he should have just.
And then Edmondson got blamed for it.
Well, I got to ask you, Riv. So last night we watched a game, and we started our new Twitter poll with Buckingham Pest Control, our pest of the game. You sent me your three, which we listed for our fans, and they're currently voting. So let's go through the three and talk about what you saw from their game that would have listed them as the pest. So the number one, you listed Binnington. Was it because of that? Because of that just general attitude of, hey, that F you a little bit?
Well, yeah. I mean, he pulls out Perry's feet from under him. Then he skates around and he's chirping him the whole time to where, Perry stops the one time like he's going to fight him. And then Binnington, you know, scurries away, which was smart. But, you know, he's talking and shit talking and all that. So yeah, he was a bit of a pest at that moment. I didn't think it was good for him to do it, but he still was a pest.
All right. So then, you know, not what you would typically think of when it comes to a pest. I mean, I think a lot of times we think of guys at the bottom of the lineup, but you went with Robert Thomas. Was it just the effort he gave last night?
Yeah. He's like a little gnat that's buzzing around out there and you can't swat him, and you know he keeps getting around you and behind you and underneath you, and he's putting pucks in the net and just being a pest. I mean,
he made life
difficult. He made life difficult. It doesn't always have to be where you're physically, you know, going after somebody. I mean, being a pest, putting the puck in the net, that stings too.
And then the third member is a guy that, you know, I got to tell you, I called up. Everybody's like, "What the hell? Who is this guy? I can't believe we're calling this guy up." But I got to tell you, this is a guy that I think is going to be on this list repeatedly, and that's McEachran. And, you know, we talked about how teams would look at the Blues and say, you know, are they hard to play against? Like, are we? Do we have to game plan for them? He's not the biggest dude in the world, but I'll tell you what, he is making life hard to play against, and that's McEachran. I think that was a good call as well.
Yeah, you know, he's gaining more confidence every game that he plays, and in doing so, he's causing more confrontations. You know, it kind of started a couple of games ago, and notably against Nashville, but then, you know, since then he's kind of kept it going. And last night again, you know, he's in the middle again, you know, pushing and shoving and beaking guys. And I mean, that's what you want out of a guy like that.
That was his 20th game last night.
Yeah.
It?
I mean,
I think well, they said that.
Right. And is this a situation where this is a guy that it's like, okay, if you want to play up here, embrace your role. I know maybe this isn't ideal, but guess what? Well, if you want to play in this league, embrace your role.
Well, he's never going to be a first, or in my opinion, he's not going to be a top six forward in the NHL. So guess what? He's got size. He's got speed. He's proven he can put the puck in the net a couple times. Now he's a pest. You know, next step for him is killing some penalties. Once he gets confident doing that, now you've got a legitimate third line player. And that's where you can make a lot of money in the NHL and have a really good career, being a damn good third line player.
Does he skate well enough to kill penalties?
Oh, I think he does.
Yeah, I'm asking.
Absolutely.
I'm asking the pro.
Asking the expert.
I'm asking
ask the pro.
Pro.
Ask the pro's pro.
Absolutely. He's got good steps on him. He covers the ice very well. He's got good stick position. If you watch him on his forechecks, he gets a piece of a lot of pucks. So, you know, I like where he's headed.
We work a lot on gaining ice laterally, like, you know, left and right, gaining ice laterally with little, you know, with as few steps as possible. And I think he does a good job of that. I wanted some confirmation from the pro.
Yeah, no, I like him a lot. And I think that moving closer to the playoffs and in the playoffs, he's a guy that can play. He's not going to hurt you. And he's going to get under guys' skin, maybe draw a few penalties, if nothing else, make life a little more miserable. So I'm a fan.
I haven't seen, like, you know, typically when you get a young guy up like that, you throw him in the fire and he's taxed with, let's face it, you know, it's not an easy job, especially if you're not the biggest dude in the world. I haven't seen him make a lot of mistakes. I mean, I think he's kept it pretty simple. And that was kind of why I asked the question of, you know, is this just a guy that, you know what, I'm going to embrace this role and I'm going to go out and I'm going to do it. And I have the ability, the athletic ability and the skating ability to do it. I mean, that's just, I'm just impressed. And I think I get impressed by guys that when they get called up or you get them in a trade and it's a small deal. And I just love the whole, who's this guy? What's he doing? What are we doing? This is crazy. Cause I kind of felt the same way. And then all of a sudden they're contributing in a big way, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think you're right with that. But, you know, ultimately it falls on the players, right? Like if he comes in and doesn't feel like he wants to be that player, or he believes he's a different player than where he slotted in, sometimes guys can be their own worst enemies. And in this case, I think that he's very proud to be in the lineup, and I think that he's happy to serve his purpose out there. And I think he's a future third line player that could give you a good number of years being really solid for this team.
You know who, I'm not saying that they're identical, but you know who that reminds me a little bit of? We talked a couple years ago about Barbashev and the type of player that he would be in the NHL versus maybe who he wanted to be. The other guy was the guy that just left. We talked about Sobotka. You know, why didn't the Sobotka thing work out the second time, right?
Oh, God.
He wanted to be something he wasn't.
He didn't work out the second time because the guy had no freaking jam anymore.
No.
He didn't want it at all. I have never seen a bigger passenger in my life than that guy when he came back here for his second stint.
100%. Remember, there was a time last year, there was a little bit of a scuffle. And he's with the Blues, you know, like a little scrum, and he skated right by it and went straight to the bench. It was depressing. Okay, let me ask you a question.
Well, that was the Armstrong independent contractor comment.
Independent, yeah, all right.
So my boy didn't get a lot of ice last night, Sammy Blay.
No?
No, he didn't get a lot of ice. I was kind of hoping to see him a little more.
Well, it was a wacky game. Yeah. Right? Like, that's the problem is, and we really haven't touched on that yet, is the fact that, you know, we're up by two goals and everything seems to be going great. And then we hand two goals back and our arses pucker up pretty tight. And then we give up the fourth goal there. And now we're really uptight and they're trimming the lines down to two. We're running two lines in 4D. And thankfully, we get the good bounce off the end wall and score a goal. And then at that point, I think everybody thought we were headed to overtime. And then we follow it up with another goal to win the game. So it's a strange game. There's not a lot of room for, extra ice time for role players when it kind of goes like that, up and down.
So I saw some Blues haters last night make a couple comments about the go-ahead goal and about how the Blues got lucky. Well, of course, they got lucky. But, Jamie, tell them, when you're on the blue line there.
Yeah, Jamie, tell them.
And you see a situation or you see something like Shen and the who was it? Who'd the puck deflect off of? The Duck player, whoever.
I can't remember.
Who cares?
Which one?
Yeah. Anyway, Jamie, you know as well as I do, Pietrangelo shot that puck there on purpose. Like,
of course he did.
He obviously wasn't like, oh, I'm going to shoot it off his skate and get the goal. But he put it into a place where good things could happen if we get the right bounce. So, with the whole it was blind luck, it's not blind luck. Those guys are putting that puck into an area where they know if they get a good bounce, good things are going to happen, and that's what 27 did.
Well, he was actually shooting for a shot pass to Braden Shen on that one. And the guy's skate literally was right in front of Braden Shen's stick.
Right.
So, it went in off the skate. But if that player is facing a different way or if he takes one more stride, that puck will still find Braden Shen's stick and ultimately, I believe, would have ended up in the back of the net. I'd rather see a defenseman with a heads-up play. In fact, both goals, when you look at Parayko driving to the middle and taking a little snapshot, he's not trying to score on that play. He's trying to get it through the traffic. And what people have to realize is the high traffic near the blue line and the top of the circles, you're trying to get it through that layer. If you can get it through that layer, then the pucks can go anywhere and you're closer to the net and you have more opportunity to score a goal. And a lot of teams will set up that wall in that area to make sure that they can front pucks, knock them down, and then head the other way. Well, Parayko found a way to get the puck through towards the net, and it ended up going off the end boards and coming out, and we score. So he got it through that wall of players or that layer. And Pietrangelo, same thing. If you watch that play over, there's a group of guys in front of him. Mm-hmm. He gets his head up, and it's a shot pass around the wall of players.
Right.
And he finds, Shen back door. It goes off the D-man into the net, but either way, it was a great play.
Yeah, it was going in no matter what, I think.
Yeah, it was interesting to say the least. The whole, good for Petro. I mean, I did think that was a heads-up play. I mean, that was – well done. And, it happened so fast. That's where I was going earlier. It's like we tied it up. You're sitting there going, okay, we're going to get our point.
12 seconds.
Here we go. We're going to get our point. And then all of a sudden I'm watching it and I'm like, man, this is shaping up. This looks just like the last goal. I'm like, was this a replay? Because I was kind of dozing off. I'm like, wait a minute. Did I just see that? And then I look and it went the other way. And I'm like, holy
cow.
Well,
I was on my phone. And then no,
shocker. Shocker.
Well, hey, Jamie, I got. I know you got a roll, but I got one more thing that's going to be cool for us to announce. We just did our first Buckingham Pest Control giveaway, which I know we're excited about the partnership with them. Our friend Noel, who everybody met Noel on the show, called, and he said he wanted to do this. So he had called me and while we were waiting on you this morning, and my man said, let's do this. So two tickets. His seats, he's got two tickets right behind the glass where the Blues shoot twice in section 110 for March 19th against Edmonton. So you're going to get to go see Connor McDavid, going to get to see the Blues as they make this big push here, right? It's going to be a really simple contest for you guys. We're going to ask you to make sure that you've liked our Facebook page, Blues NHL Podcast. Very simple. A lot of you have already done it. If you haven't done it, just go do it. And then you're going to go to his Facebook page, okay? Buckingham Pest Control, just type it in. Make sure you've liked his page and our page. They are putting a pinned post on there.
And all they want you to do is share it and tag three friends. That's all you got to do, and you're registered. And he will Facebook Live. He's going to join us on the 18th in studio, and we will Facebook Live and give away the winner right here in the studio. And then we'll meet up with you, get you your tickets, and you can enjoy the game on the 19th. So I thought that was pretty cool of our friend Noel and the gang over at Buckingham Pest Control. Guys, we can't say enough about the people that want to help us bring the show to you. So we're going to ask you guys out there, okay, everybody needs pest control. Everybody needs somebody taking care of all the bugs in their house and things like that. Give these guys an opportunity for your business. It'll mean a lot to them. It'll mean a lot to us because we love to help our partners. So that's our ask of you guys for sure. Pretty cool, I think, don't you, Jamie?
I think it's awesome. It's a great idea. I love that Noel's jumping in on here with that kind of an idea. It's great. The participation is what matters, and that's always fun. We get lots of people involved, so it's great. It's a perfect partnership for us.
And that is our friend, Noel Buckingham. And remember, Buckingham Pest Control, they don't kill penalties, just bugs, and then pass the savings on to you. I thought that was great, man. He didn't. Hey, that wasn't me. That's all Noel, too.
I love it.
I'm telling you, he's straight out of Stripes, man. It's like, Lee Harvey, I want to party with this guy, you know?
I love it.
Yeah, I bet Noel's a good time. Yeah, it's great stuff. But, hey, Jamie, I know you got to go. Thanks to SynergyHockeySkills.com for bringing you on. I know you guys are busy and filling up camps. Our friends at the Nelson family, NelsonLandServices.com, the name you know and trust when it comes to all of your needs, when it comes to landscaping, lawn care, everything you would need, synonymous with amateur hockey here in St. Louis. They're loved by everybody. Give them an opportunity for your business. They need it. But, Jamie, thanks for taking time today. And I'm assuming we'll see you in studio on Monday.
Yes, sir.
All right. That is the one, the only Jamie Rivers. And he's come through again, folks. Don't forget our Adam Smokehouse Live from Inner Arena show, which will be March 21st, featuring food by Adam Smokehouse, beers by one of our favorite companies. Get to be a part of the show. You and a guest, we're going to have four winners that are going to join us in our Minner Arena show. You're going to get to meet Tony Twist, Reed Lowe, of course, the guys on the show, including the only guy you really want to meet that'll be there that day from our show. I don't think anybody wants to meet me or Hence. But the reality of it is Jamie Rivers, Reed Lowe, Tony Twist, of course, and Jamie's still working on another surprise. I know who he's working on, and let me tell you, that would be a force. I'm just going to sit in a chair and listen. I'm not even going to talk, which everybody should register just for that reason. So, but thanks again, as always, to Adam Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. They're the best barbecue place in St. Louis, folks. I know there's other options, and I know they're good too. But I'm telling you, I've never had a bad meal at Adam Smokehouse. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. They do deliver to certain zip codes. Box lunches for the office, for the group, for anything that you need, and, of course, any catering. St. Louis, here's your cue. And on cue, it's time now for our segment from Dennis Minner as we go live from Minner Arena, brought to you by our friends at Adam Smokehouse. Take it away, Dennis.
Hey, thanks, guys. This is Dennis Minner coming at you live from Minner Arena. Give me a follow on Twitter, at Minner Arena. And I am brought to you by the one and only Adam Smokehouse. Go give them a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Adam Smokehouse for the absolute most amazing barbecue that you will ever have. I cannot tell you enough. You've got to try their cayenne barbecue sauce. It's oh gosh, I absolutely love it. But hey, right now, if you take your ticket stub in, after a Blues game, after a Cardinals game, after a Billikens game, and show them your mobile ticket stub or ticket stub, you get 10% off your order. That's how much Adam Smokehouse loves St. Louis sports. Hey, so you'll have to excuse my voice, fighting a cold, and as some of you stayed up really late last night watching the game against the Ducks, and wow. I'll be the first to tell you, guys, I almost turned the game off a couple different times because I thought, you know what, it's late. I just want to go to bed. And, hey, you know, those of us that stayed up and watched it saw one of the best comebacks we've seen this year with Thomas and Petro scoring goals within the last minute and a half of the game, within 12 seconds of each other. And here's why I like that goal so much, or those goals so much in that win. As a fan, you know, we've got so much hype on Binnington and so much pressure on Binnington. We cannot expect him to play perfect every single game. There was a couple goals that I think I wouldn't consider soft goals, but I would consider goals that I think 9 times out of 10, he would have stopped them. The thing is, we've got to pick up those points when we're pushed into a corner, we're down. We've got to find ways to fight back and get those points going down into these last handful of games. They did that last night. This team didn't give up. We thought they did, but they didn't give up. Shin being back, I think, has totally refocused some of the lines and some of the shifts we've seen there. I would love to know when Perron's coming back. I'm still not really hearing anything, and I don't know a lot of people that are. But it was just an awesome game. I can't say enough about the team fighting back to win that. What I can't understand are the handful of people that I follow that are such extreme Jake Allen lovers that they want Binnington to fail. I don't get it. I don't know Jake Allen, but just from seeing him in interviews and things like that, he doesn't seem like that kind of player. He honestly seems like a player that when he's put in this backup position, if it's done for a reason that the goalie is doing a phenomenal job in front of him, he seems to support that. And I just don't understand why we see some of the chirps and things that we do. I'm just not following it. But anyway, hey, to each his own. We've all got our opinions. As you hear Jamie mention every once in a while, that I definitely tend to get in my arguments and disagreements on Twitter. And that's probably the reason that Jamie doesn't ever respond to me for anything, but Jamie's a great guy. So hey, last week we had Blues Hat on. If you missed that, you have got to go check out last week's podcast and hear that. I want to talk to you real quick. We have got a live show coming up. The guys will be coming in, Jamie, Darren, Jim, and a special guest. Will be coming in March 21st. I know you've been hearing them talk about it. Guys, this is being sponsored by Adam's Smokehouse. They're going to be supplying the food and all that. And I can't encourage you enough to go follow the Blues NHL podcast, Adam's Smokehouse on Instagram. Go there and eat between now and March 14th. Take a selfie of you eating. Tag all those guys, let me know, and you've got an opportunity to come and hang out in Minner Arena. Not so much that I am the draw. Most of you probably would rather me hide in the corner, which I will if that's what you request. I know you're there to meet Jamie and Darren and the special guests, so please go support Adam's Smokehouse. It's awesome, guys. As a fan, I never dreamed that building this basement would draw that kind of attention, where I've got, you know, guys that I was cheering on when I was really first getting into hockey, in the mid 90s. To be able to have those guys come over and hang out is pretty cool. And thank you all for those of you that follow me on Twitter. Go make sure and give me a follow. If you don't, it's at Minner Arena. And again, we are sponsored by the one and only Adam's Smokehouse. Hey, guys, we have got some tough battles the next couple nights. L.A., San Jose on the road until we are back home next week. And until then, guys, let's go Blues.
Great stuff as always, and Dennis never disappoints, and I want to thank him for kind of organizing all the stuff behind the scenes when it comes to the Live from Minner Arena show. He always puts on a good display for us. Getting Adam Smokehouse involved was key. We thank them, and I really do want you guys to go try that barbecue. Send us a picture. You gain entries. You can also do so by going to bluesnhlpodcast.com.
If Hindu, you get a chance.
We got a lot going on
Blues
the show
fans,
right now.
Blues
we got a lot
fans.
Going on.
A lot going on. But if you get a chance at some, I don't know, some event where you get to go see Tony Twist and Reed Lowe, those guys, just make your way around and go do it. They're really approachable.
Yes.
At events, they're really great with the fans. But I know they don't play anymore, and they're not in the same game shape, but they are huge.
Tony is.
Reed
well,
is bigger.
Well, Tony's not as
Coach Lowe is bigger.
Tony looks like he could play right now.
Yeah, but I mean,
and Reed Lowe could play. I'm not saying he couldn't play, but I mean, he's
a monster.
He looks like a tree.
He's a monster.
He looks like a tree.
He's a monster. I'm telling you, when he comes over for that Blues alumni game with us, every time I see Reed, I'm just like, my God.
It is interesting how most professional athletes, and you look at them, there's just something a little bit different about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie's,
he is massive.
Jamie's big, but Jamie's not.
And he wasn't a big player.
No.
But he's put together a little bit different.
Yeah.
Look at Kimby, how he's built,
but,
you know,
and
stuff like that.
Those guys are just huge.
But everybody has a little something that's different about him. Now, Tony, you would say, is more of that fire plug, a little bit like Cam Jansen. And Cam's the same way. But, man, let me tell you, when the of all the things that was cool about doing that show with Tony, for me, sitting next to him, I just kept looking down at his hands.
Lunchbox.
I'm telling you, I just can't get over.
They're as big as lunch pails. Well,
they're just not normal.
You remember him throwing punches. He didn't throw punches. He clubbed you to death.
No fear. You know, I mean,
he just clubbed you to death. I think one of the best punches I ever saw him land, it was the one on Rob Ray.
Oh, God, poor Rob Ray.
Go on YouTube and watch that one. Just destroyed his face.
Poor Rob Ray.
Bad, bad decision.
Poor Rob Ray.
And Rob Ray was tough.
I think people thought he wasn't tough after that. Like, oh, man, he must not be very tough. No, he was tough.
No, people stepped up to him after that, after he, his face got reconstructed. But, man, that was a pop for sure. But those guys, even when you see the pro athletes later, like we see them, you know, after their careers are over and everything, they're still big. You know what I mean? You can still see why they were pro athletes, and they just have size and they're just built different than, you know, the average big guy who wasn't a pro athlete. There's just something about him. But Coach Lowe, as he's known on in St. Louis now and in Twitter, big boy and gracious with his time and always
fun
to be.
Oh, he's so down there. I mean, listen, they all are. I honestly have never been around one that was any different than just great guy. Happy to do what they're doing, and I'm telling you, it's going to be epic. I mean, the stories will be flowing, and I like I said, I have a feeling who the third guy is that he's working on, and if it happens, he never disappoints as well. I'm telling you right now, folks, if you have not registered, this is your chance to do so. BluesNHLPodcast.com. Click our Live from Inner Arena banner, and you guys can get registered to win as well. We want to thank you guys for joining us on the show today. We got a lot going on. One last time, Buckingham Pest Control. Don't forget to go to their Facebook page. You'll see the pinned post. All you got to do is make sure you have liked our Facebook page and theirs. Share that post and tag three friends, and you guys are golden.
Come on, say it again.
What?
He doesn't kill. Say it.
Oh, it's the greatest line ever. You don't like? I'm telling you right
say
now.
Say it again. I love it.
Hey, listen. This is all Noel too. He ain't messing around. This guy. I mean, what is he? Straight marketing genius. He busts this out. I didn't even get a chance to work on this one, but I thought it was pretty good.
That's awesome.
They don't kill penalties, just bugs, and pass the savings on to you.
That's great.
It is good. I'm telling you, can't you just? And again, I know he's listening. He's sitting there going,
"Just bugs."
Hey, Noel's probably sitting there going, "What do they mean? Like,
just bugs.
They want to party with
and
me? Like, what does that mean?" His wife's probably listening, going, "What does that mean, honey? That they want to party
and
with
the
me?
Occasional
like,
skunk?"
No, it's good, man. It's a lot of fun. We got a great group on here. Adam Smokehouse, Randy Green. If you've met Randy, from all you guys out there at InnovativeCompanies.com, let me tell you something. If you're going to have a hockey show, and if you've ever met a professional hockey player, they are salt of the earth, down to earth, blue collar guys. We couldn't ask for a better gang here. Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com, as blue collar as they come, you know. Well, how about the Nelson family? Do you know a nicer, more down-to-earth family that does amazing things than the Nelson family?
No.
NelsonLandServices.com. Mike over at Adam Smokehouse is a guy that just loves what he's doing. He's passionate about what he does. He loves to be involved in this. That's his crew, right? I'm telling you, we're very, Synergy Hockey Skills, obviously, what a group. And now you add this into the mix, and of course, the passion from our friend and your friend, Dennis Minner. I love the fact that you two guys fight. I'm sorry. It's almost like that third brother that sits back and watches the other two fight and just giggles at them. I love it. I'm sorry. I do. I think it's funny. And I hope you guys get into it over at his house. This will be great. I'd love to hear you two on air just get into it.
There's not going to be much time for us to do much talking.
I was going to say, we're probably just hush it up.
Yeah.
So great stuff, man. Thanks for coming in today. I appreciate it. Thanks for Jamie for calling in. I know his time's busy. Hey, how are you digging the Where's Kimball stuff? Fuck, tremendous. Friend Joel, he beat us to the punch. I had Andrew making us a Where's Kimby on the milk carton, and Joe beat us to it. That was priceless. And then the billboard by Sarah.
Sarah's put out a description.
Yeah. Look, Kimby just retweeted. Oh, there goes the neighborhood, our post about Tony and Reed Lowe joining us. I'm texting back. You need to – I'm tweeting him back. You need to call in sick that day.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what. You talk about – you know, like I said, the cool thing, too, was that I didn't realize it. I didn't realize nobody fought Tony Twist more than Darren Kimball.
Yeah.
I didn't know that till that day.
Yeah, I found that out. We were at the St. Louis Sports, the big trivia, St. Louis Sports trivia. You know,
I remember that. They used to do it. Yep.
Yeah. So we were there, and Tony came over, and he was either trying to light Kimby's shoe on fire, or he was sneaking up behind Kimball. Anyway, and while we're sitting there doing the trivia, he shoe checked him, so he sprayed him. Shaving cream on the back of a shoe, so they called shoe check, which means you got to do something stupid. So it was pretty funny. But then after, you know, how you get those breaks, I said to Kimby, I said, man, what was it like fighting that guy? And he goes, you know, I fought him more than anyone else did. And I said, why?
Hey, well,
why would you do that?
Before when we were sitting over there that day, it came up, and it's funny because he said it, and I was like,
yeah.
I looked immediately at Kimby and said, are you stupid?
Yeah, but Kimby's tough,
I know. He goes, I wasn't very smart when I was younger, was I? You know. But, yeah, he was tougher than I think people realize.
I've been on the bus with Kimby traveling, coaching, and he has over 2 hour, back in the day, videotape, a 2 hour tape of nothing but him fighting. And there's not, like, it's not like it. You see the play lead up to the fight. It's like 2 hours of they have dropped the gloves and they are engaged, and then the next fight, over 2 hours of that stuff.
He said he's, like, over time he's tried to think, like, he's minimum 300, probably upwards in his life around 500 fights.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fights.
On the ice.
Yeah, that's a lot of fights.
Yeah.
Doesn't I was going to say, we didn't count the bar fights.
We didn't count the few.
When he's got those shit kickers
with
on.
With Chicago and stuff. I used to have to remind him. I'd be like, hey, you don't have the same backup you had when you were on the ice. All you got's me, and I'm not in the mood to get my face crushed.
And I got to tell you, I love, you know, Jamie's obviously one of our favorites, but can't you see him starting shit?
Who, Ribs?
Yeah, with those guys there.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you what, you talk about a guy that's lived a charmed life. Now, he did die on a table and has a death certificate, but he's lived a charmed life.
Still one of
the
best stories I've ever heard.
It is by far one of the greatest stories ever.
He needs to chronicle it in a journal or something and put it out so people can just go to it and read it whenever they're feeling like they might have had a bad
day. I'm telling you.
He died.
It is absolutely hysterical. Hysterical.
What goes through your head if you wake up on a
gurney with a toe tag? Oh, my God. Anyway, so good stuff. Thanks, Hendu, for coming in. I guess I'll say sorry about your Sunday. Your season's over.
Yeah, unfortunately, we lost the regional championship to one of our rivals. And
a kid that you recruited.
And a kid that we recruited and went to another school. But, you know, we live to fight another day. We learn from it. We'll be stronger for it. The good part about it, silver lining, is all of this team returns except one. The unfortunate part of it is we lost Lazar Listerica. He's young man from Serbia who was one of the first to buy into what we're doing at McKendree and come on over, and he never gave less than 100%, and I really appreciate everything he's done for me. We really wanted him to get to that national tournament, but came up a little short, but all in all, he's had a great career.
How many years did he play for you?
Four.
All four?
Yeah.
He did play all four?
Yeah.
What's like, I would be curious just to end the show with this, a question that some probably, some may not care, but I'm sure some people find this interesting. Mm-hmm. What can a guy like that, like what will a guy that came from Serbia to Lebanon, Illinois to play hockey, good player, obviously really good player.
Serbian U-20 national
camp. Right, okay. So what can a what will a guy like that do now? What will he do now?
Well, first he will most likely go to U of I and get a master's degree in engineering.
Which is a big thing for McKendree, I know. That's one
absolutely.
Of their draws.
So we have a partnership there with U of I. So that's what he's going to do. He's an excellent student, 4.0 a lot of times. So that's what he's going to do. He has some offers on the table to go play some lower level pro hockey in Europe. I mean, it's something he's looking into, but quite honestly, I think he's happy with his career and he understands what his future really, really holds. And so I think he's going to go ahead and get that master's education in engineering and be a success for sure.
Does his future stay right here in the States? Or is that something probably undecided by a kid of his age?
It's a little undecided. He has opportunities in Serbia. He actually trained in Lake Placid before he came to me, so he's very, very comfortable in the U.S., has a lot of friends in the United States, but I can see him returning to Serbia for a while and doing some work there. Ultimately, he's just not really sure where he wants to land, but he does know that he wants to finish his master's degree. And so we're going to help him every way we can.
Great stuff as always, buddy. Thanks for joining me and making it exciting here. One last time, folks, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Get registered if you want to join us for that. What is going to be an epic show when we do our live from Inner Arena.
Epic.
Thanks to our friends at Adam Smokehouse. Don't forget to follow us on our social media sites to learn more about ways you can enter to win. Guys, very simple. At STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. Follow us. If you're a Blues fan, we'll follow you back. Facebook, Blues NHL Podcast. Like our page. Click invite your friends. Love to grow that page, please. It means a lot to us when we can get more people involved. Blues NHL Podcast on Instagram as well. One last time, thanks to our friends at lineupmedia.fm, home of the great new streaming platform. Download it for free on your mobile device, folks. Yo Radio. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.